This gift, in a profound sense, is the most practically, I underline, practically important of all the seven gifts. Time and again, our Lord told his disciples that you're not only to believe, but they are to understand what they believe. Except for the words, many people do not understand what understanding the faith means. Although I bring a copy of the New Testament with me and just briefly read from the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, in which our Lord gave the parable of the sower. Let me read the whole parable and then concentrate on the first part. Jesus said, "A sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the edge of the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on patches of rock, where they found little soil and sprang up straight away, for there was no depth of earth. As soon as the sun came up, it was scorched. Having no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked. Others fell on rich soil and reduced their crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, anyone who has ears." Then when the disciples asked, "O Lord, explain the parable," his explanation "You therefore ought to hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom without understanding, the old one comes and carries off what was sown in his heart. This is the man who receives the seed on the edge of the path. The one who received the word of God on patches of rock is the man who hears the word and welcomes it at once with joy. But he has no root in him. He does not last. Let some trial come, or some persecution on account of the word, and he falls away at once. The one who receives the seed and thorns is a man who hears the word, or the words of this world, and the lure of riches choke the word, and so he produces nothing. Finally, the one who receives the soil in rich ground, he is the man who hears the word, understands it. He is the one who yields the harvest and produces now 100-fold, now 60, now 30. Over the years, I'm sure I've either lectured or spoken on this parable at least 100 times. The word understanding and understand occurs twice in the parable. It first occurs when Jesus says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and the first seed fell on the pathway. The birds came along, picked up the seed. Then, to explain, Jesus says, those typified by the seed falling on the pathway are those who, having received the word of God, fail to understand it, fail to grasp it. Then the evil one comes along and steals the word of God, their faith sown in their hearts. And then, before closing the parable, Christ repeats, the ones who receive the word and understand it, they are the ones who yield a harvest, 100-fold, 60, or 30-fold. No words of mine can either say enough or be clear enough to emphasize how crucially important is this gift of understanding. We said, in a profound sense, this is the single most practically important of all the seven gifts. He will ask three questions: the what, the why, and the how. What is this gift of understanding? It is, I keep repeating, the supernatural gift which inclines the mind to see what is believed in the following ways, to grasp the meaning of the truths of our faith. This gift makes the intellect grasp the nature, the inner essence of what God has revealed. And the word, this gift makes what we believe intelligible. I've taught too many students for too many years. My own Jesuits, 25 years in teaching theology. Right men. Our exams are always all exams. Final exam at the end of 4 years of theology was a 2-hour grilling all examination. And All these now priests have to do is explain what they were taught and tell the examiners what they understood by what they were taught. I cannot tell you how widespread is the neglect of this gift of understanding. First then, the gift enables us to grasp the meaning. Secondly, this gift enables the mind to see these revealed truths more clearly. Who views words, but how few minds really grasp first the inner essence or meaning, what those words mean, and secondly, to see the faith that we profess clearly. And my favorite synonym for clarity is distinctiveness. Take a simple truth like the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. By the end of the 16th century, and Luther, an apostate priest and monk, abandoned his faith. He stopped believing what the Catholic Church for 1500 years had taught as a real presence. By the year 1600, as I've said so often, by 1600, there were over 200 interpretations among the Protestants of what the expression real presence means. There are over 4,000 Protestant denominations in the world, and this is the single main reason for these thousands of denominations. From 200 interpretations in 1600, and over 4,000 interpretations of the meaning of Christ's words of the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood." And, as I've said more than once, called by the Holy Father to called by the Holy Father twice, 86 and 88, ordered, do everything you can to restore the understanding of the Word, the understanding of the real presence among Catholics in your country. Because your Catholics in America have become so widely Protestantized. Amen. You don't close. Most of our seminaries in the Catholic Church in America have been closed. Do you hear me? You don't close, as I've said before, 104 parishes in Chicago and Detroit archdioceses without a reason. There are a thousand reasons. This is the main one. To understand deeply the meaning and clearly clearly does the word real presence mean. God is present everywhere. Is Christ, the living God, present everywhere? I noticed on the sweatshirt of one of you, is it on the back of the shirt? The Eucharist is Christ. Does the man still have the shirt on his back?
Jesus is
it on your back now?
No.
Wear it as often as you can. And it says, what does it say?
It says, Jesus is Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity.
Amen. It's worth my coming to Chicago. You have to see that on a sweatshirt. This is the main reason, I know exactly what I'm saying, for the widespread loss of the true faith. All Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, Episcopalians, you name them, they all profess to believe in the Eucharist. But what do they mean by the Eucharist? I repeat, over 4,000 interpretations of that one word. Claret. How we need this gift of understanding to grow in the depth of understanding what we believe and the clarity, and especially as I keep repeating, the English language, the most confused language in the world, that, pardon me, is an infallible statement. Understand our faith clearly. Be able to distinguish how Christ is present in the Eucharist from the way the second person of the Holy Trinity was present in the world before Mary told the angel, "Be done to me according to your word." At the moment Mary pronounced those words, the God who had been, who had to be present in the world which he created, otherwise there would have been no world, no Nazareth, no angel, no Mary, began to get the verb, began to be present on earth as the incarnate God. I've struggled not only with priests, my main task for 30 years with the Holy See is working with bishops. How they need this gift of understanding. Certitude, conviction. What a difference in being believing and believing with firm certitude. The English word conviction comes from the Latin convincere, which means to conquer. Our faith conquers our minds. Here we don't let go. No matter what the price may be, and the price, as I've said, and I'll keep repeating, the price for professing the Catholic faith today is nothing else than a living martyrdom. It's to know the what. I'll spend an extra time on this meditation. The gift of understanding enables the mind to not just believe deeply, to know the meaning, believe clearly, believe with certitude, but believe in such a way that we can defend our faith. Let's be honest, this is the church militant. And the warfare we must constantly wage is defending our faith. And, strange language, the first enemy, what a statement, the first enemy of our faith is our own proud intellect. I keep repeating these outstanding heretics of our age. A Skillebex, a Ronner, an amateur, McBride. Oh, they wrote books. But underneath, the writings which they published is a doubt, inherent, a single, fully deliberate doubt on even one truth of our faith deprives the doubter of the virtue of faith. It's gone. And we have heretics in high places. And well, I know. To defend the faith first, before our own proud intellects. But defend the faith against the so widespread learned, publicized, opponents of the true faith and within professedly Catholics within the church. As I keep telling people, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Cromwell are heretics, but at least they were honest heretics. They left the Catholic Church. I say, thank God. And now we've got these Luthers, Calvins, and Zwinglis profess to be Catholic, teaching our schools, in charge of our universities, controlling our catechetical programs. Am I clear? The gift of understanding gives us the grace from the Holy Spirit to defend our faith. Now, The why is answered by Christ himself. Because unless we understand what we believe, the devil, Yeshua, the demon, the devil, will rob us of our faith. I say this with complete conviction. Never in the history of Christianity have more Catholics been robbed of their faith than in the 20th century. Why do we need the gift of understanding to be able to preserve the faith against the shrewd? Widespread, powerful minions of the evil spirit inherit everyone, even doubts, not to say denies, what Christ has revealed is an agent of the devil. Do you hear me? Understanding to remain faithful. Oh, how casually we can pronounce that adjective, faithful, and not realize how crucially important is that faith Paul's fullness. And I repeat, for 30 years now, my principal work with the Holy See has been to assist members of the hierarchy, priests, and the laity to understand their faith. And finally, practically how. First, we must be strongly motivated. We must be convinced that this is the will of God. Faith seeking understanding. And that, not coincidentally, is the Church's official definition of theology. Theology is the science of understanding the faith. Well, let's be clear. We are to grow in our understanding of the faith, but we shall never comprehend the mysteries we believe. Your comprehend means fully understand. As I have said so often, heaven must be eternal. It will take an eternity to begin to grow in our understanding of what God has revealed. And even in heaven, in the beatific vision, we are to grow in our understanding. I've got two answers to the question how. I'll be short to make sure we cover all 12 and provide time for confessions. How do we go in this gift of understanding? By reflecting on the truths we believe. crucial tease, take time to think through what you believe. Take time to think through what you believe. My favorite definition. My favorite definition of meditation. Meditation is thinking about what we believe. Of course, in the presence of God. Needless to say, I am giving you, pardon me, an order. From the end of this retreat on, spend some time every day to meditate. 15 minutes, an absolute minimum. Better a half an hour. You have to split the half an hour, split the half an hour. But think. Think about what you believe. And the most obvious object for meditation is the gospel. The gospel for the day's Mass. You won't expect this, but before this retreat is over, I will fax my Jesuit order the scripture readings for the rest of the year. Okay? Give all of you a copy. All right? Think through the gospel for the day. There are so many other ways of meditating. Think through the problems that God has put into your life. They are graces. Oh, now what do I do? I'm asking. Read the writings of the saints, especially of those who have struggled through life. If you don't have any life of a saint in your house, get one. To the saints. No saint would become a saint unless he or she had to struggle. Am I clear? The latest doctor of the church, Saint Therese of Lisieux, did you know she had to struggle to see God's will in her life? We are the saints to encourage yourselves because, as I've said at the beginning of this retreat, the Catholic Church needs nothing more than saints. For the obvious reason, only saints. You don't know who you're talking to. I know. I'm talking to myself. Only saints. Have you ever survived? For the increase of your gift of understanding, oh, that I may see, as the doctor of the church tells us, as we read the Gospels, especially Mark, and all four evangelists, you wonder if anybody in Palestine, in Christ's time, had eyes to see. It seems that all kinds of blind people and church tells us, Christ restored sight to so many physically blind people in his mortal life on earth to teach us that we are all blind. We are blind. Blind in mind. We need light. We need the gift of understanding to see what? To see God, as we've been saying, in everything in our lives. Oh, that I may see. Number four. Think in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Whatever decision you make in this retreat, I beg you to decide to spend some time, if it is humanly possible, every day for the Blessed Sacrament. I think I should say this. I live in the rectory, Jesu Rectory in Detroit. We have a chapel with the Blessed Sacrament reserved. To get there from my room to the chapel, I've got to pass the television room. My brethren, of course, all that pious heart. There he goes again. Oh, the hours that we waste. Spend some time, if it is all possible, every day, before the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus Christ is here. The same identical Jesus who walked the streets of Palestine, who restored sight to the blind, who raised the dead back to life. And do we ever need miracles today? Expect miracles. Do you hear me? You are your lives, I am mine. Number five. Dismiss from your life conversations with people who do not support your faith, and conversely, discuss with others the faith that you and they, whether he or she, believe. Oh, what stupid worldly things we can talk about with others. Still in some dictionaries, Jesuitical means cunning, intriguing. Oh, the stories that I could tell, looking for the Holy See, are the underground work I have a privilege to do for the vicar of Christ. Defend your faith. Smile. Be kind. But don't let a heretic get away with it. Am I clear? Number 8. Put your faith into practice. Live your faith. What a difference between believing the mind and having that believing mind influence the will and hear it. I keep repeating, we have both voluntary and involuntary muscles. Use your voluntary muscles, like the legs, maybe stiff like mine. And I think I've said how many times, I know exactly what we have knees for kneeling. And that's, by the way, both a noun and a verb. Am I clear? God used our knees to kneel. No matter who else is standing, am I still clear? Speak out, professing your faith. Oh, what slaves we can be of human respect. Speak out. This is where we men, oh, how we men, hope I'm not talking to that audience. Well, how many men need to recover their manhood. We're living in a nation that has become, I watch my vocabulary, enslaved. My women. Most of the living force in America is women. Most of the money in the United States is owned by women. And my friends in Washington tell me the one who was elected president was not William, but Hillary Clinton. She is running our country. In the next issue of our publication, the Catholic Faith magazine, there should be an article entitled Fatherless America. That was number 9. Speak out. Let's be men, not only in physical gender, but in our wills. Now repeat, wisely, cleverly, shrewdly, even intriguingly, you know what I say, Jesuitically. That's what we were trained from the novitiate home. Number 10. Increase your Catholic vocabulary. That's why I published the Modern Catholic Dictionary, and we're finally bringing back the bare unabridged edition, if an additional 1,000 terms, it is one thing to speak English, it is something else to speak Catholic English. Am I clear? Increase your Catholic vocabulary. Number 11. Note out your reflections on the faith. You see more by my view. One of my resolutions for you will be to, I hope, with God's grace, to inspire you to write. The writing clarifies the mind. The writing strengthens our capacity to think. Writing enables us to remember. And writing, as we'll see, is one of the principal means, and I would say most effective means, of communicating the faith to others. Finally, listen to those who have a deep understanding of what they believe. What a difference between hearing and listening. We hear many things. We listen only to what we want to hear. In other words, the gift of understanding is meant to be transferred. Transferred from those who have a deep understanding to us. Then transferred, communicated by us to others. The more deeply you grasp your faith, the more Christ will use you. You don't have to be a theologian. God will give the grace of deepening, clarifying, and strengthening the understanding of the faith of everyone whose life you touch. Lord Jesus, you gave us the Holy Spirit so we might believe in everything that you, our God, have revealed. But, dear Lord, how we need to grasp the inner meaning of what we believe. How we need to see clearly with the eyes of our mind what we believe. How we need to distinguish, especially, dear Jesus, distinguish truth from error, where the error nowadays is so widely disguised as truth. Deepen our faith with the gift of understanding to defend what we believe. Even your Savior hath the price of our lives. Because, as you tell us, only those who believe will reach you in the everlasting vision for which you have made us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.